Hey there, Lions fans. How are you doing?
Hey.
Randy and Rich here with you on the M66 North Detroit Lions.
Spit it out, Rich.
Podcast. And, coming to you from the just north of the M66 studios here. Thanking the fellas that put the power back on here about
been without 40 power minutes since. Ago. Been without power since like midnight last night.
Yeah,
we were. My neighbor said it was even before that. I must have fell asleep. He said it was like around 10 o'clock. So
there you go. Yeah.
We just now got it back on.
Bring out the torches and the candles. And then all of a sudden, boom, everything came back on. Just in time for recording the podcast.
Yeah, so that's way.
We don't have to do it in the dark.
Yeah, the Rich's phone won't run out of juice.
And Randy can have a hot cup of coffee. From the microwave.
Oh my God! Yes, yeah. This is like really good coffee, but it's from yesterday, you know. So.
But it's hot now. Mm-hmm. Instead of lukewarm from the wood stove.
30 seconds in the nuke box, and you got hot steaming coffee.
Yeah. So you know what's not lukewarm?
The Lions free agency is still rolling.
Yeah. It's nice segue. Pat ourselves on the back, even though, yeah. So Brock Wright is back. That is the most recent news here, about 3 hours
ago. Yeah, but Brock's not the only one.
No, but it's the most recent.
Yep.
And something we were curious about, because, I guess it was Friday, 49ers signed him to a restricted free agent.
No, we have him signed as a restricted. Detroit has him signed as a restricted free agent.
But they signed him.
They
to
made
a
an offer.
Yeah.
And we had the right to match it.
Yeah.
Well, which they still did.
He signs a tender, and they sign it and agree to it. I guess he didn't officially sign it. I suppose he. But
he gave the Lions a chance to match it, and they did. And kudos, because I'm really. I did not see anything on this until Rich came over and said, hey, Brock Wright got signed back. What? No, he went to the 49ers. No.
The headlines were 49ers sign Brock Wright to a $12 million offer. Restricted free agent tender. And that's the thing, too. If Brock Wright had been a seventh rounder or a sixth rounder, there would have been draft picks involved.
He wasn't. He was an undrafted free agent.
Right. So it was original tender, which is unrestricted or undrafted. So there was no draft pick involved. Otherwise, they would have had to give us a sixth round pick or a seventh round pick to replace him, right? To match,
right.
match that. So, because we had him, like you said, signed to a restricted free agent tender, which unfortunately was undrafted. So we'd get no compensation.
We wouldn't have got no comp pick for him then.
Right. Yeah. No comp pick because we didn't sign him back.
Right.
So we gave him up. So it was our own damn fault.
Yeah, but we didn't give him up. We signed him. We matched the tender, $12 million, 3 years, $4 million a year. You know.
Yeah, and that's what reported. And we know that the specifics come out, and it's it's only this and the signing bonus and this and that, and per year is different. But it all amounts to $12 million if you look at it this way. And because contracts are weird, right? We don't know until these specifics come out, but that is what's being reported. And so, and that's a great thing for Brock Wright.
He goes out there,
hey, this is what I'm worth, fellas. You want me or not? That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, it's being a good businessman there. But like I mentioned before, Brock Wright wasn't the only one that got brought back to the team this week.
Yeah, but he was, I believe, the only restricted free agent offer tender deal that happened this year. in all of the NFL.
You're right. Oh, in all the NFL. I knew it was for the Lions, but I didn't know it was for the whole NFL. Holy shit.
And that just kind of speaks to the rarity of undrafted free agents going from undrafted to, like, $12 million contracts.
Right, but Brock Wright matches everything that they like in a tight end, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the criteria of it all.
And we know that now because they paid up.
Right, and Holmes even mentioned it in one of those pressers that he did with, like, when he was in Florida or when they had the owners' meeting down there in Tropical. He mentioned that. He said, you know, yeah, we was kind of wanting to bring Brock Wright back, you know? So he mentioned that, and so they did, you know, and I'm glad. Kudos. But also, you know, Nate Sudfeld, we now have a third quarterback. We didn't talk about him, and, you know, that was kind of a surprise.
Well, you needed it.
And again, you knew he was going to have somebody on the practice squad.
Yeah, you know, I like it just from the fact that if Hooker needs to play because Goff is hurt, you bring up Sudfeld, and he's going to be a great clipboard holder for the young kid. There's no other need for him to be talked about until Hooker gets hurt, and then that would suck.
Well, that would totally suck. You know, have two quarterbacks get hurt in 1 year.
Yeah.
We don't want that. No, and right. I don't think, I don't believe that will happen with the Lions because of the medical training staff that we have, you know.
We would hope. Shit happens, right? But and injuries happen too.
So. You know, exactly. But, you know, the way that they bring everybody back and the way they, you know, rehabilitate these guys to get them ready for game time, it's good. You know, it's a lot better than what we had before. You know, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and they're all better than Blau and Boyle. So
right, you get down to the end of the football season, and you know you got 22 starters that are on IR. You know, that happened.
It did, and that'll definitely, you know, kill a season.
Yeah. So I'm glad to have Nate back. You know, I hope you have fun on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Vildor, Kendall Vildor.
He's back.
Yes, he's back.
The KV. I like that. I think I like it more than I expected to.
Well, I know I like it more than Nate Sudfeld.
right. Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, there's tiers of likability in these
right.
deals.
But I'm not a guy to, like, you know, hold a grudge on anybody. You know, he made a mistake in that game, in that NFC game too, you know, like...
it's hardly a mistake. I mean,
the pass hit him in the face mask, or the visor.
Yeah, it was bad luck. It's.
I know he wasn't the only guy on the team that made a mistake. You know.
Yeah.
And it's the same way with the wide receiver there that went to San Francisco.
Yeah, Josh Reynolds.
Josh Reynolds. Yeah, he had two bad drops, but you know what?
And it sounds like the.
He had two bad drops. You know. Yeah. So what? Vildor, he had a bad drop too. So did.
Well,
Cam Sutton.
Yeah,
had a bad drop too.
Yeah, interception went right through his hands.
Yeah, so
on the other side of the field.
You know, you can't blame that loss on just one particular player.
But people were. You know,
I know it, and I don't understand how they can do that. It's like that was a team loss. They lost that from every freaking department on the field. They had their chances, and they did not follow through on them, you know?
Yeah.
And it was more than one chance. And that's like,
yeah. But the interesting thing is, like, Jeff Risen had talked about it with Reynolds about how maybe, you know, sometimes when guys, you know, make or don't make plays that don't take you to the Super Bowl, you know, that it's hard to get over that.
They get butt hurt. You know,
well, the fans get butt hurt.
And, yeah, the fans do, but the player needs not to listen to the fan.
Well, that's, you know? And Kendall Vildor is going to have that chance, right? He's coming back where Josh Reynolds isn't. So
which I give, yeah. I give him.
Of course, he got a job, and Kendall Vildor didn't have one.
Well, Vildor, you know, I'm just kind of glad that he, you know, he knows what it's time to redeem yourself, you know, come back and learn from your mistakes instead of crying and running off to another team, you know, and it's like, you know, hey, grow up, you know, but what do you expect? He's California boy, you know?
Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, well, you know, other than, you know, golf, who else do you know that's got, gets butt hurt like that, you know? Aaron Rodgers ring a bell?
I would like to ring his bell.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think anybody's going to get the chance anymore. I think he's got his glory in Hollywood and will not return to the NFL. I really don't think he's going to play for the Jets this year.
Oh, yeah, he is.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The whole vice president thing was a joke, and, yeah, he's playing. They don't have a quarterback. They're bringing in the world to play around.
Okay, so you think it's going to be 4 games or 5 games before he gets put out again?
I'd like to say 3.
Yeah.
Put it over under 2.5.
How many screws you got in your neck now, Rodgers?
God only knows with that guy. You know,
yeah, and you know, good luck to the Jets, but you know, I think they made a mistake. You know, it proved to
they're
be right
building
in the first
a team.
Year.
They're, you know, they're not building a team. They're trying to win around an old guy. You know, and
you think they would have learned by
play and
Brett Favre was like the reason why you don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they did get to the playoffs. You know, when he was there, but. But, you know.
But how long was he going to be there when you brought him?
Aaron Rodgers ain't no Brett Favre.
No.
You know, so that's why it ain't working.
Yeah.
You know, who knows, you know, if he's going to play this year or not, but.
Yeah, I mean, it could work. I mean, their division, you know, they could get through there pretty easily, I think, if he plays his backyard football and it works.
Yeah, if you can get on the same page with a wide receiver, then they can play that kind of sandlot stuff, you know. But
it's hard coming in cold turkey.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have the Devontae Adams that he got to work with for years.
Well, that's the whole point right there. Is
the white guy that went to another team and couldn't do shit and was out of the league in a couple of years. I forget his name.
Yeah, I don't know. We're not talking about the Jets anymore.
Okay. Now, what we do need to talk about is a little bit of Cam Sutton. Just, it seems he, it's the best case scenario for him. Him and his accuser are seemingly kosher.
Things are not what they always seem like they are. And the question is right now, did Detroit jump the gun on him, you know, like letting him go? Do you suppose that maybe they should have waited a little bit more? And the obvious answer is no, because, you know, he did not return anybody's phone call. He decided that he was going to stay away. He was not going to, you know, talk to anybody any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, what did he do? Hitchhike his way back to
Florida? I have no idea.
Florida,
I don't know what the hell. Hanging out with P. Diddy or something.
Yeah, maybe he got a private jet. I don't know. You know, it's, I think the correct answer is no. They didn't screw up. You know, the Lions did the right thing. You know, you got a guy that's on the run and you're already sort of moving on. You know,
and what we did in our cornerback department. You know, it's not that he was an actual need, but you know, it would have been nice to have him, you know, have him there.
It would have been,
But it's not that the fact that we hadn't upgraded from him either,
right? He would have been number two, would have been pushed the other side of the field, or depending on if they had Davis shadowing someone, you know,
right.
he may be in the slot.
Well, so, it was a competition all the way. He would have had to beat out whoever was there to go into competition with.
Right. And, you pencil and, these guys in.
Yeah, I don't. Nothing's set in stone, especially on this team, the way these coaches are and the aspirations that the player has to meet, you know, because the coach set the bar high, you know?
Yeah. And so, you're going to play more press man this year. And
that'd be cool. I'd love to see that, you know?
You know?
It's burned on zone seams, you know?
It's, yeah. Yeah, so. And then Brad Holmes was like, we really didn't expect to get Amik Robertson and Carlton Davis.
But, I heard him say that, yeah.
But we did. So, and then they lost Sutton. So you're like, oh.
It's a good thing they did.
Well, yeah, it's a good thing that Davis wasn't upset that they signed somebody before him, you know. He was like, no, I still want to come, so let's do it, you know. And then the Sutton thing. So I don't think they did anything wrong. It'll be interesting to see how any money issues work out.
Yeah, that's going to be kind of funny because I think if he gets, like, proven innocent, you know, like there was no wrongdoing by him or it'd be set up, I think the Player Association will get involved and Detroit will owe that money. They won't get any back. You know,
that's why
it's curious about whether they jump the gun or not. Right. Too serious. You know,
I just think that being, what do they call it? There's a word for being on the run, right? You're not a felon, but you're,
alleged felon or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're just, you know.
You're a desperado.
Desperado.
Ever do that again.
Well, you know, the Eagles, they did it a few too many times.
Yep. But a whole lot better than you. So.
Well, you know, it's all just a country twang. So
come on, back to football.
I can't remember that word, the fact that he was just on the run and not calling the police, they asked him,
right,
because he was in the facility, and he's like, they're like, dude, go turn yourself in, do the right thing, and he didn't.
Yeah.
You know, it took him 2 weeks, right, or three, whatever. Yeah,
and that was my whole point, too.
Yeah, so I think that is grounds enough.
Well, that has nothing to do with the money, though.
I think you can release, I mean, it does, but it changes. Him, like, being innocent would change the future money, but I think there's, like, guaranteed money and things like that.
Well, that might be what they're fighting. It would be the guaranteed money, you know.
Yeah. I think they're set with the guaranteed money. It's like that stuff is done, but we still owe you this.
But the thing, which is cap, you know, and it's like, do you get that cap money back?
Right.
And that's, so, you know.
Yeah, I think we'll probably get stuck with more cap than if he was guilty. Right, you know, speculation.
I don't even know. I mean, it's like you said, it all depends on after his day in court because, you know, they haven't really proven him guilty yet.
Yeah, it's just,
you know,
weird. Yeah, it's just
you got to kind of find a wait until see with all that outcome. And that could be like not till next year, you know?
Right, exactly. All this money thing. Is going to take a while.
I think if the Players Association gets involved, then that means Detroit's probably going to have to give it up, you know, and not.
But I guess the main thing is right now his contract is still on the books until June 1st because it was a June 1st designation. Yeah,
I think you're right.
So they can't say, okay, well, we lost his $10 million, so we can go spend $10 million on another guy. Can't do that until after June 1st.
Right.
Right. So, and we'll know more about the money at that point.
Yeah, then, but then again, you know, you're not going to give a drafty, you know, if you draft somebody, he's not going to call for $10 million.
No. But I was talking free agent.
Right.
I know. It's like, right. You were mentioning Patrick Surtain, right? That there was right, some talks yeah, about there, that.
And there was two phone calls, you know.
Yeah.
And so who knows?
Right. You know? And that's recent stuff, not like
yeah, that was ago. Just last week. Yeah.
So.
And so if that something like that happens, well, you know.
Yeah.
Then
Sutton's money doesn't factor into it until after June 1st.
Right, but they didn't go free agency. They went Vildor. Right. You know, it's a serious
weight on the scale in one side or the other.
Well, Campbell said in that presser, he says, just one more. I said, we need just one more. And then they signed Vildor.
Yeah, because we had thought that, you know, they were looking for probably two more. Right.
I was thinking maybe even three if they brought in, you know, like an undrafted free agent, you know.
Yeah, at that point, like, yeah, you know, for sure. There's always one of those.
Like, you know, Vildor would be your free agent, and then you go to the draft, and then you draft one, and then maybe even bring one in as an undrafted free. I was thinking three, Rich. To be honest with you.
And it still is in that sense. You know, I didn't factor in undrafted guys into my thinking, right?
Yeah.
I was originally it was going to be two, and it could be say like a top 100 pick and a cheap free agent, like and it still can be now with Vildor being the cheap free agent and a 100 pick,
right?
Or it could have been
Dorsey even.
Well, Dorsey was already here.
Well, yeah, but yeah.
Right. These are extra guys, right? Now, Vildor's extra, and a draft pick will be extra, and it could have been a guy like Surtain, and then a fourth round.
Corner, right. Yeah, but you know, I went Vildor corner. Instead. That cause,
not a fourth round. Cause you don't have a fourth round.
I think when he said one more guy, he meant one more free agent, and I think Vildor was that free agent.
Right.
Okay. And then so now you get a draft pick, and it don't matter where you get him.
Right.
First and round, second
scenario
round
could have been switched if the one more free agent was a high price guy.
Because you know your cornerback, he's not going to start right away, and they can draft a high second round, even with that number 29 pick, you know, and still be able to, you know, not start him right away.
Right.
When was the last time Detroit fan could say that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they started Okuda right away because they drafted
They shouldn't have. You know, they didn't
need. Well, they had to. They didn't have anyone.
Yeah. They had to.
Because poor planning, a poor.
Yeah, and poor, that's what, the same poor, thing with Slay. Well, Slay found a way through it. You know, he was good enough.
Yeah.
He only plays outside. He will not play inside.
No, they weren't thinking versatility back in those days, you know? They wanted the best of everything in one position.
And Slay kind of refused to do it, so.
No, that was after the fact. They tried to move him around, you know, with the Quinn era or whatever. Yeah,
but the thing is he's really can't play inside.
No,
and he knows that too. And so, you know, but I guess that was the Quinn Trisha years.
Right.
I give him that.
Yeah.
You know,
Caldwell wasn't trying to move him inside.
He
was trying to get him to be better on the outside.
Right, but the problem was he was still in the first year and a half, he was a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
And
that's what happens.
Yeah, you need to give that cornerback
and that's why you're trying
a little time to acclimate.
A year ahead, two years ahead, you know.
Give him time to acclimate, you know.
Yeah.
So when it comes time to play in the higher icons of the NFL, it ain't no big deal.
And so we're sort of at that point now where you're not drafting a corner to start.
No, this is what's real cool about where we are with our roster.
Even if he's a first rounder, he doesn't have to start.
No, we have all the holes somewhat filled. I mean, you know, it's backup stuff that we need, you know, and depth.
Future.
Yeah.
Good guys, right?
I mean, you know, I can see him going after an offensive lineman. Why? Because you know, Graham Glasgow's going to be here 2 years, and three. Zach's going to be here one.
Yeah, one, maybe two.
Maybe two, right.
Yeah.
But still, you know, you need to get yourself an offensive guard center, you know, because Ragnow might not last after this year.
And with the extensions for Brad Holmes and
Dan Campbell.
Thank you, Dan Campbell, and because I was thinking Chris Spielman. But wanted to say him
third. Yeah, him too.
Yeah.
But he got a raise too.
Yeah.
Extension, so to speak.
Yeah. And so, you know, in the coaching and the GM are in lockstep for the years, right? And I think originally they had the GM longer and the coach shorter, so you know, in case they had to get rid of the coach,
right,
the GM was still around. But now it's okay. Even it's a Steven. Team. It's a team, right?
These guys will probably be with Detroit for a really long time.
Yeah. So we're looking at this, you know, by the end of their next 4 years, there's going to be probably 30% turnover of this roster. Won't be here in 4 years, you know. It's
every year it's 40%.
Yeah,
it's 30 to 40% of your roster gets overturned every year.
But they are beating that statistic.
Yeah, I think I believe 20%. They are.
You know, it's
because there are a lot of guys come back
at the moment. You know,
a lot of guys come back. You know, they had quite a few come back.
Want, right?
You know, but the majority of them came back, and that's just.
Yeah.
Crazy, cool. Yeah.
And it's hard to, with the guys that came back, it's hard to kick them out of a starting spot, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but they're still building the team, you know, in a way that we're not used to. And like drafting a corner like Slay and throwing him in there, right? You know, Okuda, throwing him in there. And they're not doing that
they're giving their players the time to acclimate to the speed of the game. Yeah. And that's,
well, they're also waiting until they find their guy. And they're not going to draft a corner just because they need a corner. You know?
We're going to suffer.
Yeah.
We're going to suffer through this.
I know. It's been the same with defensive tackle, right? They're not going to draft them until the second or third round, and then the guy's got spinal surgery. Well, we're going to give him 3-4 more years to figure it out before we draft another guy. You know?
Yeah. Well, Detroit has a really solid roster, and the depth is getting better, and they're actually, what I should say is, our depth is developing. Because a lot of guys that were like everybody, you know, including myself, saying, oh, this guy's, you know, he ain't going to make the team. Or this guy, no, they better, iffy is a good example.
Last year, this time last year, I was looking at guys to draft to replace him because we hadn't heard a word from him, you know.
Yeah, and you think back, like, when during the season last year, when everything started to come together, you know, but then again, you could see the holes, you know, what needed to be filled with our depth, because our depth was...
Yeah, well, you ended up with Vildor starting in the playoffs.
Yep.
And you're like, holy crap. And now he's like a last-minute signing before the draft is depth is probably your fourth at the moment.
Right, but we did those are the holes that are absolutely not there this year.
Right.
Which is putting a whole different aspect on how you draft. How do you draft? Do you draft for need? No, we're not drafting for need. We're drafting best best player available.
Yeah. And
you know,
it's weird, cuz usually you put at a position of need after that, right? You
say,
best position available, at a position of need. Now you're like, well, yeah, but
What's our position for need for this year?
Yeah. In the first round.
We're drafting for next year. That's the thing.
2 years, you know.
Right, but I think we're not at 2 years ahead yet. I think right now, I mean, because of Ragnow being,
that is my 2 years.
And Zeitler being as old as he is, you know. Not to say that he can't go any longer, you know, but I'm just saying that he's old and you need to get...
You got guys in here now.
And well, the same with and such with Awasika.
Because the defensive line is younger, you know. It's a given right there. You know,
our defensive line is freaking insane.
Yeah.
It is.
And it really... It seems like it shouldn't be.
Well,
you know, because you drafted McNeil in the third round, a nose tackle that was too light to be a nose tackle and too heavy to be a threat as a three tack, and then Anzorike was out forever, and Okwara and Harris were like up and down and here and there and.
And, misfits.
Yeah.
Island of Misfit toys?
Misfit linemen.
Offensive linemen. Yeah. Or defensive linemen, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, and now all of a sudden you're like, well, shoot, you know, Paschal's on his third year and has had stunted growth from injuries, but he's been healthy now for a good bit and actually starting, I think, to come around.
Yeah, the third year, same with Anzorike. You know, you say the same thing about him. He had back surgery, you know, so things were kind of come and go with him.
He's still a great rotational guy.
Yeah, even Barnes, you know, everybody was starting to count him out, but then, bam, he makes
that. Especially once Campbell was drafted. You're like, oh, Barnes is out of here.
Yeah, and then, they draft for a purpose, you know, and that purpose isn't always to get rid of somebody else or to replace somebody.
Yeah.
They have a plan for that person, you know, and that's what's different about everything or anything that I have seen in the last 40 years, you know, 40, Todd would say 50, you know.
Right.
But, you know, this is just something brand new and it's refreshing because, you know, I'm probably going to see Detroit Lions win a Super Bowl before I die. That's inviting.
You'll see them in the Super Bowl for if nothing else. And but you're going to see them competing. You're going to see them in the playoffs for multiple years in a row.
That's going to be it. You know, the whole thing
not
is
not even like before you die, like right now.
Well, I know it, but remember, New England's dynasty went 20 years. So, you know, there's no reason why Detroit can do the same thing.
What, 6 years between Super Bowls at one point or whatever?
Yeah.
And almost went undefeated and all that stuff.
Right. So, you know, so it's like, I think Detroit. Like, I'm not saying that they're any better than those New England teams, but what they got going right now is, to me, is better than anything anybody else in the NFL has going on right now.
Well, look at freaking Kansas City, right? They won 3 Super Bowls in 5 years, just one back-to-back, and they don't know if they're going to have a freaking... They can't even renovate their stadium right now. You know, they're like, hey, fans, do you want to put a sales tax out there for a while so we can, you know, get $1 billion to renovate the stadium? And
you know,
like, no, no, find the money yourselves there.
You know who Sam Monson is?
Yes, from PFF.
PFF, right? In quoting him, he said, "Detroit Lions might have the best roster in the NFL before the draft." He says that. So how cool is that?
Yeah, that was his free agency review, I think.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, I just kind of went, whoa, that's pretty cool. You know, so
yeah,
I heard him say that. I had to write it down, share that.
Yeah, cause I think he did a thing on five best free agent moves for signings.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that D DJ Reader was one of them.
That I can't say enough about that signing. That it's probably my favorite signing of the whole free agency. Yeah, DJ Reader. Yeah,
everyone in the NFL's favorite signing.
And, yeah, and that guy surprised me. I thought I did not know. I mean, you know, his body type is so freakish. I mean, to me, I was thinking he'd be like, you know, like A-Rod, you know, like big. You know, like 350 sloppy pounds, you know. But
nothing sloppy.
No, my God, that guy's built like a freaking tank. And I am serious. When I say tank, I mean tank.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that freaking V-wedge chest that drops down into a very strong bottom half. You know?
Long ass arms.
My God, you watch some of the tape on him. It's just like sitting here, your jaw's on the floor. Wow, look what that guy just did.
Yeah.
You know, look what happened to that other guy. You know?
Yeah.
You
know? So as the line gets better this year, that's going to help out the corners and the DBs.
It is. Right? There's not going to be any time for the quarterback to throw the ball. You know, those routes are going to be open before pressure is going to be on a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, and if they can contain him, they'll get all those in sacks.
Yep.
You know?
And so there's all sorts of corners to have and be had in the draft.
Right, but the question is, do they need one?
Yes, they do. Absolutely. They need to prepare. They need to start, like we've talked about, drafting for the future and having some homegrown DBs or corners. Not just, I mean, they've got the Iffy and they've got Joseph and Branch. And so they just got nothing homegrown on the outside. Now, is this something that they're basing is this part of their team building philosophy?
No.
Right? And hold on. Outside corners take a while, like you say, to develop. Are they saying, well, let's just get outside corners that are unwanted by other teams that are already developed that we can use in our system? Because they've 2 years in a row, they've gotten two outside corners in free agency, and it's not costing them a hell of a lot of money, like a Revis or a whoever, right?
Like Jerry Jacobs,
but he's not costing them.
He's not here anymore.
He never costed them anything. A shutdown corner, you know, is $14, $15, $16 million a year or whatever the hell, right? And they don't want to do that. They don't want to, you know, draft a. They don't want to jump up like say this year and draft a guy that in 5 years is going to cost them $20 million.
No.
You know, maybe they don't want to draft outside corners. But, you know, we still talk about who they may draft and what could happen.
Right. And to your point, that's a good way to say it. You know, drafting for next year, where you're not necessarily looking to draft a guy to start, but you want a guy that can develop into somebody who will start.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, that's second round all the way to me. The draft is full of cornerbacks this year.
Yeah, it could be at 29.
I really got to believe that number 29 pick is going to be for an offensive lineman. I really do, you know. And if they don't move up and they just sit there, then yeah, you know. But I think
it's 50-50 corner offensive.
Lineman. I don't
because of who's available. Not so much what they want. Best player available.
Well, if the best player is available as a cornerback, then at 29, then they'll probably take him.
That's
but
what I'm
I
saying.
Don't think there's gonna. I don't think that will be the case.
The only thing is there's going to be like 5 or 6 tackles taken before us, and only 2 corners. Maybe 3.
Yeah, but we don't need a tackle. We need a guard center.
Right. And that's the deal. But the four teams in front of us, 20, 22, 23, 20, whatever, Tampa, Philly.
Philly needs everything.
Well, not so much, but, you know, I forget exactly who's in front of us, but those four or five teams, Dallas is one of them that needs a center. Lions are going to have to jump up probably 5-6 spots at least if they want the linemen that we're thinking of.
Well, I see that, and I disagree with that because I think Will Frazier will fall to 29. But
Zach Frazier,
yeah. And I think he will fall to 29.
To me, I think we could drop back into the second round and still get Zach Frazier.
Well, I wouldn't. I don't. I'm not going that far. But
yeah,
I think. Again, you know, there was speculation that the kid from Oregon could fall to Detroit at 29 too. You know,
Jackson. Powers Johnson,
yes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, he might be theirs. And I've seen him mock to us a couple times. I've also seen Cooper DeJean, the cornerback from Iowa.
Right, but isn't he hurt or something? Didn't you say last week he was hurt?
Broken fibula.
Right.
But, you know, he's got his pro day coming up in about 2 weeks.
Pro days are nothing.
Well, it's not a pro day. It's a special workout because he wasn't able to work out at the combine or the Irish pro day. It's like I think he's just putting on his own deal, which so
promote
just
his chance, brand,
yeah, just a chance to
show work off out in front of cameras people. Yeah,
and once he's healthy, so that'll be interesting. Some people say he can play outside corner. Other people say that his hips are too stiff and he can't turn.
Who's this now?
Cooper DeJean.
Oh, DeJean. Still on him.
Yeah. In my opinion of him has changed a little bit, you know, over the month, 2 months here, to where, he might be there at 29, to where I thought he'd be going in the teens before.
I see now. I don't think they're going to take a guy who's injured this year because there's a possibility they might have to play him next year. And they kind of want to get him a little practice time before he has to do that. You look at the contracts that we have on these cornerbacks that are on our team right now. 1 year, 2 year, 1 year, 1 year, 2 year, 1 year, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, we're going to be like starting all over from scratch again next year in our cornerback department.
Right.
So but you know,
like I said, it might be part of their team building.
Right. But like I said, I don't think they're going to get anybody who's injured. I mean, I think they want him to be available to practice and play this year, you know.
But at the same time, it's somewhat Brad Holmes' MO, drafting guys that fall because they're injured.
Well, that's true, but you know,
and Cooper DeJean is one of the best athletes in the draft. He was a state champion.
Is he falling because of his injury?
Yes.
You think he'll be there at 29?
He's falling in mock drafts, right? Quote unquote.
Quotes,
right? He's falling in mock drafts.
Oh boy! You
know, because he hasn't worked out in front of guys, right? And you got Nate Wiggins now, who's 173 pounds, right. Is a lot of people's number one corner, right?
Remember,
which would never fly, I don't think, in Detroit.
Well, remember now, Amon-Ra St. Brown ran a freaking 4.6 140.
Branch was four five something. I don't know. You know, slow guys, right? So, yeah, and Cooper DeJean, he was state champion. You know, Iowa, state champion in 100 meter dash and broad jump and in high school. Okay. So, he's a freaking good athlete right from there. And maybe that pushed him up the boards early, and now it's coming back because he hasn't proven it again.
Right. Well, I think, to me, you know, I think if you're going to be looking at cornerbacks, you're probably going to look at them in the second round. Another thing you have to understand, you know, you talk about Zach Frazier being available in the second round and moving back, you know, yeah. And I think that's kind of critical too there. And that might happen because, you know, just because we could use the extra draft capital, it's going to take quite a bit to get us to move out of the first round and give up that fifth year to, you know, it's going to cost quite a bit for a team to move up to that spot.
Because I could easily see the second round pick moving back and getting capital, getting a fourth rounder that we don't have, you know?
Well, I'm thinking multiple second rounders, okay? You know, like if you
to move out of the first round, you right, get but higher picks, yeah.
That's what I'm getting at, you know, like maybe 2 second rounds and a third, but I that might be too much. But then again, you know, I'm not so certain to give up that fifth year option.
But just first round talent.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
You might only be backing up about 5 or 6 spots, but you're still giving up that fifth round.
Yeah.
Or that for fifth year.
And it doesn't have to be Cooper DeJean. There's other guys that if they think are worth that spot, you know, like Kool-Aid McKinstry, maybe you can drop back into the second round for him as well.
And you know, no, but they're saying
he's got a Jones fracture.
They say right? that he might be guy. Available at 29, but yep. I would let go of that. I'm not a real big Kool-Aid fan.
If they are, that's cool. I'm
he's
fine
got
with it,
he's
you know?
Got health issues. I think yeah. you know. And
well, the Jones fracture is the only thing that's going on with him. But he's still. I don't have his 40 down, but. He still ran like a 4.5 with a broken foot, right. basically.
Right. Like I said, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of that. Like I said, I haven't really been doing as much homework on this as you have because
yeah, I'm trying to talk about him.
All my homework proves
gotten two names in there.
Fail is fail. Yeah. So you know.
And Quinion Mitchell is another.
That's a guy I like.
Yeah, and he played, you know, off man coverage, and which is interesting. You know, if the Lions are playing more press this year, you know,
he might not fall though.
Yeah, he's not going
to. You're going to probably have to move up to get him,
right? And I don't think that they're going to put the capital into moving up this year.
I'm not so certain they will either, unless of course they got. Unless they want to trade a player, you know, or something, you know.
Yeah. Because they're giving up too much, dude. Especially since someone's going to fall to them at 29. I guess that's my deal.
Right. Well, you know, they got a big old list of guys that they would take at 29, you know. Yeah.
And it's just tough, you know. If someone, because obviously, you know, we've said it many times before. Last year, Brad Holmes had 14 guys that he had first round grades on, and one of them was available at 43 in Brian Branch, right?
Right.
So, you would think that one of his guys would still be there at 29. But it's hard to say.
Didn't that same thing happen with St. Brown? You know, like they had first ground grades on him.
Well, they never said what grade they had on him, but they knew he would be available in the fourth round.
How do you know that?
I know. We had him as a second rounder. That's when I was starting to look at him. And
is that what you had him at? Okay, because I don't remember exactly. I thought somebody had him at first round material on him and.
They might have
projected him as a first rounder, and he went in the fourth. It's like,
no wonder he was chalkboarded. First,
no wonder
first one,
he was so pissed off.
Yeah, there was a bunch of guys that in front of him. And they're not as good.
No, I told you my favorite free agent signing was Reader, DJ Reader. My second favorite was Zeitler. No doubt about it.
Yeah. You know, I'm still on cornerbacks, trying to be on cornerbacks for another 10 minutes here.
I'm not into cornerbacks because I really don't
need to be because they're going to draft one. Not necessarily in the first round. I'm trying to get beyond the first round. Like TJ Tampa from Iowa State is been talked about as a possible first rounder, but he's probably a second rounder. But when you look at this, they got Quinion Mitchell, Terrion Arnold as first rounders, you know, like, but they, if one of them makes the top 10, you're going to like be surprised. Right. And so how many actually go in the first round then? Cooper DeJean, maybe Khalid McKinstry, Nate Wiggins, right? And then, so that's, you know, five. And well, so there's a lot of guys after that. And
it doesn't have anything to do with the guys. It depends on the guys that are doing the drafting. You know, how many idiots?
Well, there's 32 teams.
Right, but I'm just saying is a lot of these guys are not very good at drafting. You know, so they're going to freaking take guys when they're not supposed to.
Right.
You know, they reach, you know, oh, we need this guy, you know.
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to take him now? Because you could probably get him, you know, two rounds later.
Right. And that's where you start, you know, guys that have been talked about for the Lions, like Enos Rakestraw. So is he a first rounder or is he a second rounder? You know,
you're never going to know until he's drafted, you know, because Who are the experts in this?
Yeah.
Who's the experts in this? You know who the experts are in this? No, the guys doing the drafting.
Well, we talk about first round grades, and there's 32 first round picks, regardless if there's 14 or 20 first round grades.
Not always. Because
no, there's always, 31 this year.
Because there's always a team or two that gets their first
them. So there's 31 this year. And last year.
There was last Miami, year, too.
Both years, because of Miami.
Yeah.
It's not what we need to talk about.
That factors in, too, for the second round.
No, because then there's 32. It's back to 32.
Well, yeah, but you still got that one short pick in the first round going into the second round. Because that makes the first round, or the first pick in the second round, still basically a first round pick.
Not if there's only 15 first round
32
grades.
Overall, though.
Right, but there's like 15 guys in this first round that don't need to be first rounders.
Well,
that just
proves how many dummy GMs you got out there. They don't know how to freaking draft.
They still got to make a pick.
Right? Yeah,
so still. And some of them are going to be cornerbacks. And, you know, but if only five or six go, then you're still, you know, looking. To me, if you don't get one in the first round or early in the second round by trading out of the first, right?
Yeah.
Nothing at 61 is going to be worth drafting.
No, but that's where you get moving back out of the first round. You get that extra second round pick.
But still, at 61, there's still nothing worth drafting.
No. Well,
as a corner.
Well, how do you know that?
Because the ones that I want are all going to be gone.
Well, you don't know that.
Yes, I do. You get Cooper DeJean, Khalid McKinstry, Terrion Arnold, Quinion Mitchell, TJ Tampa, and are going to be gone. Because those are the only guys I want. And then I'm looking at third-round grades. And Kyrie Jackson, Andrew Phillips.
Right, but the
Max Melton is now coming into second round, really. So that'd be okay. I'll take Max Melton in the second round. Yeah,
I've heard a lot of good about him too. Yes. Every time I heard his name come up, it's like, he's a pretty good fit for Detroit.
Yeah, but one thing is, and we heard Brad Holmes kind of, or was it coach? I forget. Talk about Brian Branch, right? And he's not going to be your nickel forever.
No,
he's going to eventually be a CJ GJ kind of guy. He's going to be all over and never come off the field. And so maybe if we're not drafting an outside guy, maybe we're drafting a nickel corner and Branch will be your third, maybe your first safety. You know, maybe he takes over. Maybe, you know.
For Iffy or Kirby?
Right.
All right.
You know, because we're hurting at safety right now.
Because, not really.
Well, a little in numbers, not in personnel.
Right, we got four of them. We got four safeties on the team right now, as far as I know.
And they're not, you know.
Effie, Joseph, yeah, Kirby, Joseph. And yeah, Kirby Brandon. And Brandon.
Yeah.
And then Brian Branch. Yeah.
And Branch. You see, you already got Branch as a safety. He's a nickel, you know, last year, right?
Right, but I think he was a they got him listed as a safety.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
But he played corner, right? Nickel corner.
Corner, yeah, slot.
Slot corner.
Slot safety, slot corner. And so it's a nickel.
Like
a
draft pick, drafting a slot corner this year would you'd still opening day have Brian Branch as your nickel, right?
Slot.
But I could see where maybe outside corner is not really in the mix when they're looking at who they need to draft.
That's like
as
when,
a corner. Right?
Well, you put one five of these safeties shorter, out there if you had them.
Well,
you know,
well, if you just get one of these shorter, smaller corners.
Yeah, I think that's where. The little guy, was it? Is it Robertson? The little?
No, he's an outside corner.
Right, but how big is he?
Well, he's small. He's AG.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, you say put him as a safety as one of the smaller guys, even though you do want your safeties bigger than your cornerbacks.
Yeah, Robinson's a outside corner at the moment, in my eyes. See, my whole thing was trying to bring up Mikey Sainristrel, the Michigan.
Oh, Michigan,
safety,
of course.
Corner, nickel
of course.
Right? Because he could be your second-round corner, even if drafting a nickel is a little high for a second-rounder. It's a possibility.
Right.
Because
think
because of the athleticism and the best player available thing.
Well,
and,
I think there's going to be other players that are, you know, better than these players. But... I'm not saying that, you know, like that second round cornerback that you talked about. What's his name? With Max.
TJ.
Max.
Oh, Max Melton.
Melton, yeah. I agree with that. You know, if you take him in the second round, cool, if you can. But the only way you can, I think, is to move back. And it depends on what you move back for.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going to need a lot because you're giving up your fifth year option. And you're taking a second rounder. Okay, well, if you got two or three second rounders, I'd be good with that.
Yeah,
you know?
It's too
I really
hard
would.
To,
you know, the fifth year option is good for like
that.
People like Sewell. And,
yeah, but I see like Max Melton being available at 61, but not Mikey Senior still.
Yeah, so, but, yeah. You know, it depends on if you move back out of 29, you can pick up extra second rounder.
Yeah.
You know, if not two. You know, it might be for next year, but it would still be another second rounder. You know, and to go along with that, you know, this year's second rounder, for next year's second rounder, I would think there'd have to be a lot more for this year. You know, so I would guess that there would be probably a third rounder in there somewhere, too, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe a seventh rounder after that.
There's
who knows?
Draft
depends.
Picks and there's guys, and we can talk about...
What's fair, you know?
What picks we can get and which guys we might get and... Who's where and just like last year, you couldn't get Witherspoon, and I never thought they'd get Jack Campbell, and I never, you know, in a million years. But he was he's probably my favorite player in the draft.
Right.
And I never thought there was a chance. You know,
in that draft, that's with Gibbs, right?
Yeah, Gibbs.
Yeah,
and
Gibbs
Campbell
was definitely my favorite.
Laporta
in that draft. That Gibbs was my favorite in that.
Yeah,
you
come out with four starters. Now we don't need four starters because they won't have places to play this year.
No, but I guarantee you that when we draft, that we will be drafting four eventual starters.
You would hope. I mean,
in the first three or four rounds, you know.
I mean, guard, you know, center. It could be a tackle, you know, it could be a wide receiver, it could be a corner. So we're trying to hit all these things. And we've got a few more weeks. We'll just keep hammering on stuff. And it's getting exciting, you know. It really is. I'm like loving
this. I just can't wait for the draft, and then that way things will be underway and we know what we got, and then we can wait for training camp.
Yeah.
And that's only a few months away, so.
And hopefully Randy's power stays on here.
Yeah, no doubt.
Between now and then, and we won't have any problems, and we can keep everything, all the phones charged, and keep recording our little conversations.
Yeah, it reminds me, my phone needs to be charged.
Yeah. So until then, watch for Deer One Pride.
Are you going anywhere?
No.
Okay, well, go Lions.
Watch for deer. Go Lions.